Good afternoon, everybody.
Mark Reed here from Lordic Solicitors. I'm joined today in this wonderful podcast room with the great Ellis Sweetenham. Ellis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Now, I asked you to come and sit with me for the simple fact being that you've just experienced a very complex and drawn-out mediation that you attended and did incredibly well, and we're all very proud of you, and it went swimmingly.
It did.
And because of that, and we're so soon afterwards, I thought it would be really useful for our listeners to get a bit more of an understanding about the mediation process, how it works, and just hear from the legend that you are.
Obviously. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like mediation is probably something that a lot of people have heard of, but don't necessarily know the ins and outs of and why it can be really important and really useful. So mediation is a type of what we call alternative dispute resolution. So it's an alternative that parties in a litigation may go into to try and resolve the dispute without having to take it to court. There are different types.
Just to jump in there, now my understanding as being such an experienced and very well respected and well known solicitor in the UK, mediation is absolutely what the court process will expect to have been at least attempted before you take that plunge.
Yeah, so not necessarily mediation itself, it could be a different type of alternative dispute resolution.
NDR.
Yeah. Yeah, but mediation is the most common.
That's right. Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you there. Please proceed.
So mediation essentially is getting both sides in one room with a mediator. A mediator is an independent person who is there to sort of act as a middle person. They're not there to give suggestions or make any rulings or sort of be in charge. They are there to facilitate a conversation. So start by sort of getting parties talking, going through the issues, trying to reach a resolution that potentially couldn't be reached in court. Mediation can be much wider reaching than a court process.
So can mediation be forced on both parties, or has it got to be something that you're willing to do because you obviously want to try and get to the bottom of it?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, there is an expectation from the court that some level of discussion has been had to try and resolve the matter before it gets sort of to the hearing in court to save everyone time and money. But it is something that both parties need to be attending willingly in terms of being in the right mindset to try and resolve the matter. Everything always is a compromise. So if a party is very fixed in its position and it has no wiggle room, then mediation necessarily isn't going to be successful.
Okay, well, I think the first question that I have for you is, with your wealth of experience in mediation, have you ever experienced someone that has said that they're willing, and then when they turn up, it's quite clear that their position is what it is, and they're almost doing it as just sort of part of the course and just because they feel that it's just a necessary step?
Yes, absolutely. It can be really difficult when you've got that on the other side of you, that they're literally there just to tick the box and want to move on. It's such a waste. I mean, mediation isn't cheap. It's certainly cheaper than taking a matter all the way to the end in the court process, but it's definitely not cheap. It's time consuming. So to sort of turn up to the mediation and not try and engage in it is a bit of a silly position to be in, and it doesn't really help anyone in terms of moving the matter forward.
And can there be any sort of, any liability on one party if they turn up with that attitude? They've got to pay costs or anything like that if they turn up with that attitude and everyone else has paid for it and they really not help the matter?
Yeah, definitely. So both parties and all legal representatives have an ongoing duty to resolve the matter as soon as possible and assist the court in resolving the matter. So if one party was to, one, refuse to attend mediation, or to attend but not really engage in that, then they are not fulfilling their duty to resolve the matter as quickly as possible. And that could be reflected in asking for those mediation costs or additional costs for having to continue the matter at trial if something could easily be nipped in the bud and didn't need a sort of a judge's consideration to make a decision.
That's good to know. That's good to know. Okay, so I think the next sort of part of this podcast should be just sort of slowly taking our listeners through what you can expect of mediation, okay, from the before you've even turned up on the day in terms of preparation and then turning up on the day and then throughout the day, or if it's not one day and it's 2 days, then of course, you know, as you're going through.
Yeah. So mediation is normally one day. You can have it for a longer period, but normally it is to try and hash out some issues and get a resolution in one day. So before a mediation, it's important that the mediator is completely up to speed in terms of what's gone on in the matter, where in the litigation process you are, and what sort of both parties are trying to say with their side of the argument. So you provide the mediator with sort of all the court paperwork and the litigation paperwork and all the arguments that have been submitted, and you also produce what's called a position statement. So that would be something that your solicitor or legal representative would do with you, just detailing who you are, what your position is in terms of the claim, maybe give a little bit of detail in terms of what you're willing to compromise on, but it's important that you don't sort of show all your cards at once, and there is some sort of room and consideration and sort of thought in your mind that there is potentially other wiggle room that you can give.
You need to make sure that you're going in there with a plan, with options, the, you know, certain things that you're willing to concede, certain things that you're not willing to budge on, and rather than going in completely blindly and not being, you know, organised, it's imperative, therefore, to make sure that you've got your ducks in a row before you've attended mediation.
Yeah, so in order for the day to run smoothly, and it is a full day normally, and does involve sort of a lot of legal drafting of an agreement, if you reach an agreement, to enable that day to run as smoothly as possible, it's important that you are as prepared as possible as you can be. And on that line, some mediators will actually organise a pre-mediation Zoom or conference that can help that. So a pre-mediation Zoom is, or a call or a meeting, it depends on where everyone is geographically located, is an opportunity for the mediator to sort of get a flavour of who you are, where you're coming from, and the same with the other side. You aren't all together, so the mediator will have a Zoom with each party separately. And they will just chat through sort of where you are. It can be either before you submit your position statement, your sort of formal document that outlines where you are and what you want from proceedings, or it can be after. So if it's before, obviously you're just sort of giving a baseline explanation of who you are and where you are before that formal document is filed. And if it's after, then you're maybe filling in a little bit of the gaps in terms of who you are and what you want. It also is a great opportunity to ask as many questions as you can with the mediator, just to get a feel of what's going to happen and how things are going to play out on the day.
So that's really useful, because instead of just turning up and not knowing the mediator, not being sure that the mediator really understands your position and where you, how you've arrived, you know, to this dispute, having that pre-mediation Zoom, or call, obviously, you know, depending on the platform, it gives all the parties the ability to really make sure that the mediator knows in advance of the mediation exactly where you are sitting within the dispute.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting.
And it also provides, because we have done multiple mediations, so we know how it works, but lots of people are coming to it for the first time, so it provides them a little bit of comfort as to what to expect. They're not going in blindly. And I do think it's a really a good step to include. I've been involved in mediations with and without it, and I actually think that it has had a good impact on those that had a pre-mediation meeting or conversation with the mediator, just so everyone was as comfortable as they can to get that ball rolling on the day.
So it's not a requirement to have the pre-mediation Zoom, it's just something that you would recommend asking the mediator to agree to for all parties, because you can see the benefits of having that.
Yeah. So it's not a requirement. Some mediators will insist on it, if that's sort of the way that they work. But then some maybe do need that suggestion, if that's something that you want to do, to include it in the time frame. It does depend on how long you've got until the mediation. If things have been sort of organised very quickly, then you just may not have time for it. But if you can make time for it, I think it's very, very useful.
Okay, that's interesting. So we've dealt with the pre-mediation Zoom. We've now all gone to sleep, probably for a few days, and then we've woken up on the morning and we've all turned up at the agreed venue.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
So at that venue, you will normally have at least three separate rooms, three separate sort of independent spaces from each other, and they will house for the day. So one party and their legal representatives will be in one room, the other party and their legal representatives will be in a second room, and the mediator will have a third room, just to allow for conversations to be had independently with your legal representatives to discuss the matter as you move forward. So thinking about those three rooms, the first step is normally everyone in one. So both parties and the mediator sit down together in sort of a round table discussion, mainly for an introduction. So the mediator will introduce both parties, and both parties normally have the opportunity to sort of give a little bit of an outline as to who they are, what they're looking for, and how they feel generally about the claim. So that's sort of the first step. So it is important that you are aware of that, especially if you potentially there is a situation in which you don't want to see the other side. It's important to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
Just to sort of, so it's not a shock, and that you're as comfortable as possible to try and make the most of that sort of round table discussion.
Yeah, we've all, haven't we, where there's one party is quite hostile and a bit of a bully, shall we say, and a bit intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And the other party then says, well, look, I'm willing to attend mediation. I'm hoping that it will be useful and productive, but I need to tell you now, I am not sitting in a room with that man or woman.
Yeah.
And that is really important that we stress to our listeners that, you know, that if it is that much of an issue for you, you can make that a reason why you are not going to attend mediation if they're insisting on you sitting in a room with that person.
Yeah, it's so that you've got a clear expectation of how things are going to go on, and either you can decide that you can deal with that and you can sort of mentally prepare for that, or if that is a deal breaker and actually that just isn't going to work, and because of that reason the mediation would just never be successful and wouldn't move forward. So there's no need to sort of go through rigmarole and expense of it all.
Okay. So we've attended, we've had the preliminaries.
Yeah.
We dealt with all of that. We now will obviously be in our separate rooms. The mediator will then kind of knock on the door, come in and say, right, let's get cracking with this.
Yeah, so hopefully from that initial discussion, both parties can sort of see where the other side are. In an ideal world, you would sort of try and run through maybe the list of issues and maybe agree on some points, or at least see where the back and forth conversation is going to be. So that's, like you say, we'll split off into the separate rooms, and there is sort of a back and forth conversation via the mediator in terms of trying to pull each party together to reach a middle ground. So there is a lot of back and forth. The mediator acts completely confidentially, so even if you discuss something in the room with him or her, she can or he can only pass on information to the other side that you have specifically told her to pass on. So it's important that you are aware that the mediator is there to assist, and everything you say remains confidential within that mediation. So, like I say, there will be a lot of back and forth. You may put an offer to the other side. The mediator will take that to them. They will discuss it. She will come back, maybe with a different offer. And eventually, hopefully, both parties will reach a common ground and an agreement that can be drafted and signed, and the mediation, therefore, is a success.
Okay, so the back and forth can just keep going on throughout the day. We'll have a lunch break, of course, and various breaks throughout the day. Let's say the parties have reached an agreement through the mediator. What then? Because if we reach an agreement, then everything will have to now be put into writing, won't it?
Yes. So the sort of one of the important elements of a mediation is everything is to be agreed and signed within that one day. So it's sort of ticking all the boxes, everything's wrapped up with a nice little neat bow by the end of that day.
What colour bow is this?
I envisage a red.
Yeah.
Could be an orange.
Yeah, it's got to be
with
red.
A brand.
It's got to be red.
orange. Stick with the Lordic brand. So if an agreement is reached, then that's sort of when the solicitors and legal representatives step in terms of putting that into legal sort of form and in a document that both parties agree to and then will sign. And that will be then filed with the court to stop the court process continuing.
Okay, so if we aren't able to achieve what we have set out to achieve within the mediation, but we're really close, mm-hmm. what's the options that can happen thereafter?
So either all parties can agree to extend the mediation. That can sometimes be tricky just in terms of availability. The mediator could have another mediation the next day. It could be that an agreement isn't reached in the mediation, but actually a lot of the issues have sort of been discussed and agreed with. So technically the mediation wouldn't be successful, but that conversation continues outside of the mediation between lawyers to reach